we will be interviewing two men who can shed light on issues of concern about the Bannister Federal Complex. And as many of you know, for nearly 70 years, the Kansas City plant at the Bannister Federal Complex produced parts for nuclear weapons until the operations were transferred to a new facility in South Kansas City. The history of the Kansas City plant raises many questions about whether the government adequately protected workers' health in the past. Today, questions are also being raised about whether community health is being protected as plans go forward to demolish the old plant. So, this evening, we are pleased to welcome Wayne Knox, who is a radiation physicist, and Maurice Copeland, a Kansas City native and veteran employee at the Bannister Federal Complex. Mr. Copeland worked at the Kansas City plant for 32 years as a tool and die maker and as a supervisor. He has firsthand knowledge of materials used at the plant and firsthand knowledge about the failure to protect or warn workers concerning the dangers from toxins at the plant. His eyewitness account of procedures at the Kansas City plant are crucial to evaluating some of the assertions by officials. Thank you, Mr. Copeland, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So first we're going to turn to Mr. Knox. Mr. Knox's expertise as a radiation physicist.
Is Knox on the line? No, we can't turn to Knox yet. He's not on the line, Jamie.
Okay. We'll start with Maurice.
Maurice first, then. Okay, we'll wait while we get Wayne Knox on the line. So, Maurice, can you tell us about the town hall that's going to be held this weekend on Saturday, October 28th?
Yeah, we're having the town hall 10 a.m. at the Southeast Community Center. It's 4201 East 63rd Street. And it will be... dealing with the problems that we're having with the claims process, and we will also talk about the demolition and cleanup of the area, which will be done by CenterPoint Properties. It's been signed over. The governor signed it over last. I think it was last week.
Last week sometime,
he signed it over to allow CenterPoint to do that. It had to be okayed by the Missouri Division of Natural Resources, and that has been done.
Okay, and I know that CenterPoint is a private company, and we have some reservations about, the community does, about whether they are going to take the proper precautions as they demolish the old plant. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, the most glaring thing to me in working in the facility and being aware of my surroundings and what was going on is that years ago, I think it was in 1989, the federal government, at that time it was Allied Signal, Spendix, Honeywell, Allied Signal, and Honeywell. It's gone through those managements, and each one was acquired by subsequently Honeywell. Years ago, they estimated the cleanup of that facility at $800,000. CenterPoint has proposed and has been accepted by the Missouri Division of Natural Resources to clean up the facility for $275,000.
It's $75,000 or $75
million? $75 million, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, these numbers, you know how it is, you know. When you don't carry but nothing but $50 in your pocket.
Yeah. It's kind of important that you don't lose some zeros.
Yeah, well, we lost some zeros, but we lost plenty of zeros. And that was from the original government estimate. The original estimate, $800 million. That was the government estimate. CenterPoint is going to clean it up for $275 million. I was a part of the community panel to get down to this point. So I would like for the government to kind of reimburse me for doing a good job to getting it down to 200 million. Save them some money, right?
Right.
Or they're not going to clean the place up. Now, we can save us whatever that is.
Yeah, if they're not going to clean it up, that's not very good.
No.
So we want people to understand what the danger is, and in particular that what toxins have been identified at the plant that could potentially be released.
Is
Wayne, are you on the line?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there are many toxins that not only potentially could be released, but were released and will be released as a result of the cleanup project.
Let people know that Wayne Knox is a radiation physicist, and he has expertise as a radiation physicist and to shed light on the health impacts to workers at the Bannister Federal Complex. And he also has an expertise to help us understand the necessary safeguards now for the greater Kansas City community, now that there is the plan to demolish the facility.
Excuse me, Jenny, take these.
Sorry.
Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Sorry.
Yeah, Wayne, can you comment about your experience with assessing damage or the threats to the community when a facility such as the Bannister Federal Complex is torn down?
Sure, yes. Just in terms of experience, I've had a wide range of experiences going back to 1973 with the DOE facilities. I was a project manager. I worked in radiation, health, and safety. And not only did I manage the projects, design the projects, write the procedures, I also did work. So I'm more than just a pretty face. I've gotten on my hands and knees, scrubbed facilities, worn the mask, and gotten contaminated also.
Okay. If you want to elaborate on that, that would be great. I understand that you worked out at Hanford for a while, and you worked in developing a set of safety precautions for the demolition of plants. I would like for you to elaborate on that, if you could.
Yes. I started work at Hanford in 1973 as an operational health physicist at a time when Hanford had zero procedures for training the workers and actually performing the work. It was a very difficult task, and I put Kansas City in the same situation. Even though I never worked at the Kansas City plant, I have reviewed much of the information there in the DOL SIMS, and have drawn some conclusions about the work at that facility. Based upon my experiences, it was the same all over. The workers were not protected from the hazards associated with radioactive materials, toxic substances, and even beryllium. I have done two assessments at the Kansas City plant in which workers were exposed to beryllium and had chronic beryllium disease, and they never really entered the facility. It shows that beryllium was released from that facility because the facility was never designed, staffed, or sited to conduct work with radioactive and hazardous materials.
So if I understand you right, you're saying that beryllium and I believe even uranium has been found outside of the facility. In so that now that particularly comes into play now that CenterPoint has been granted ownership of the facility in order to demolish it for redevelopment. Could you talk? I know when we talked earlier, you had a set of five or six steps that you thought should be taken that might or might not be taken before the demolition even begins.
Yes. One of the first things you've got to do is to characterize the source term, what's there. And I do not believe that they have adequately characterized it because a lot of this work was done in secrecy and there were a lot of cover-ups of work activities. Much of the work done in that facility was not just non-nuclear work. This facility was said to be a non-nuclear facility for reasons I know not why, because there is no such designation as a non-nuclear facility. But just going through the site exposure matrix, which indicates all of the, should have indicated all of the radioactive toxic materials and chemicals that were in the facility, the amount and the types were not specified in the site exposure matrix. And even some of those that were cited in there were not materials that you would find in a non-nuclear facility.
Mm-hmm.
There were at least material there at the Kansas City plant to build atomic bombs.
Uh-huh.
There were materials there which were used for commercial applications. It appeared as though since the president of Bendix was responsible for a group of people that were interested in exploring the use of isotopes for commercial purposes, that facility was used not just in the name of national security, but it was used in the name of corporate interests for developing patent rights to the applications of new materials. And I look at the Sims and I ask the people at the meetings, what did you do with molybdenum 99? What did you do with it? They don't know. They didn't know it was there. But the site exposure matrix said it was there. It appeared to me, based upon my knowledge of what processes went on to make these materials, it appeared that they were using highly enriched uranium, which was necessary to produce molybdenum, and that technetium, in which it decayed to, was widely used in medicine.
Right. So I think you suggested to me earlier in our conversations that because there was so much secrecy surrounding the Bannister Federal Complex, that it allowed the corporations to pursue interests other than the parts for the nuclear bombs, for their own interest in procedures and research about medicine or some other industrial use, and that because there was so much secrecy there that they could escape close scrutiny. Is that what you think?
Yes. Well, I know that to be a fact.
Hmm.
Again, based upon my review of the materials at the facility, it appears that they were developing and testing small nuclear reactors. I saw material there in the Sims that was used for coating, that we use for coating reactor fuel to increase the heat transfer. That were, again, material there at the Kansas City plant to build at least two different types of atomic bombs.
Okay.
Yeah, and let me say this right quick. What Wayne is saying about the nuclear reactors, there was a hearing in 1953 in Washington, D.C., where the president of Bendix out here on 95th Street was I guess you would call it lobbying or urging the senators to support the their operations in producing, and these things are very important, and people ought to understand this, portable nuclear reactors. Now, I don't know what that sounds like to you.
It's terrible.
But this is, and these things have, you can look this up. The president of Bendix at that time was a guy named Malcolm Ferguson.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was posted on the internet. Now, I haven't been able I have a copy of it somewhere, but, my stuff is in storage and stuff like that. But I had that hearing. I had that hearing where this guy was at, Malcolm Ferguson was, they have the senators' names and who all. He was saying that he needed the government to support our work on portable nuclear reactors. Now, the answer that they came back with, one of the answers they came back, was from Honeywell, was, well, the work wasn't being done in Kansas City. The work was being done at the headquarters of Bendix. The headquarters of Bendix, I want people to know this. I'm glad they said that. The headquarters of Bendix is in downtown Detroit. So thank you very much. You took it out of the what was once the rural area of Kansas City, Missouri, 95th and Truce. And you tell me, you want to make me feel good, so you tell me that it was done, the work on the small nuclear reactors was done at the headquarters in Detroit. Thank you very much, Detroit. I hope you hear that.
Yes, but they did not produce the paperwork, the licenses, and I specifically asked them in a meeting, if you, and I have put together some small reactors, a small trigger reactors that we use on a barge here. You have to have licenses to do it. You have to have the fuel. Now, where did they get the fuel from? Based upon research, Bendix received fuel from Mellenkraut in St. Louis, and I have the documentation to support that.
Right.
Why would Bendix need reactor fuel? And if you go into their wet chemistry and start banging around, you say, well, why did they have yellow cake? And in fact, in a meeting, they said they found yellow cake, a yellow material, and they didn't know what it was. That was thrown on the ground.
Well, help us know what it is. Yellow cake is how you get uranium. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's one of the steps in producing the fuel here. Mm-hmm. It's really a uranium oxide, but they had the materials to even make reactor fuel. They purchased reactor fuel. What would a non-nuclear facility need with reactor fuel? If you trace this down and you said, well, what happened? If they built the reactor, what happened to it? Take a look at Burks Hall, University of Kansas, and you'll find a small nuclear reactor there. And start asking, how did they get the reactor in Burke's Hall, and no one will tell you.
Yes, and there's also a reactor at the University of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
In Missouri.
And did I hear correctly? So there, you're saying that someone found yellow cake just discarded on the ground at Bannister?
Yes. Yes.
They said it at a meeting.
They said it
that
at
some yellow stuff was found.
The 17th of May, they said it at a meeting. We had a former city councilman that they also said it to, and he almost, his jaws dropped because all these years.
17th of May of this year.
The yes. 17th of May, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you look in the site exposure matrix, it indicates that they had yellow cake.
Right.
And by the way, not to interject, but you're talking about classified information. Nobody is allowed to challenge government claims of national security by a Supreme Court decision, U.S. v. Reynolds in 1953 or so. Nobody is allowed to even question classified information because of that Supreme Court decision.
What are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that they have classified information, and they're going to We have to press them to release their information. If they tell us it's classified, we bring it to a judge. The judge will say, sorry, by U.S. v. Reynolds, you can't even raise questions about that. The government does not have to respond.
Well, I don't think that it doesn't matter. You know, Maurice is going to say what Maurice is going to say.
Yeah.
You know,
well, but we don't need to establish, I don't believe, you know, with the release of classified information that these materials existed. I would like us to focus on your suggestion, Mr. Knox, that someone, an independent person, should now evaluate what is there before the demolition takes place.
Before we go that, we're running pretty close to out of time, and Can Maurice, you can remind us again the time and date and place of this town hall this coming Saturday?
Okay, yeah. The town hall is Saturday. It's going to be at the Southeast Community Center, 4201 East 63rd Street, 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And we're going to be dealing with the disposition of the plant. Also, we're going to be informing people about the two investigations that's going on in the House and the Senate that just started. The House took up the investigation first, and the Senate signed on less than a month later. So this is a serious thing going on, and it's dealing strictly and it's dealing with the claims process, which has flawed, which a whistleblower has come out that worked for the Department of Labor. He was an attorney, and he is saying the very same thing that we have been saying here in Kansas City for 17 years.
Thank you, Maurice. In case you didn't catch the time and date and location of that town hall, I will post it with the description of this episode at kkfi.org, and from there you can get the program schedule and look at Monday at 6 o'clock. And you'll get Radioactive Magazine, and then you'll see this episode in an hour or so after we get off the air. That address and so forth will be in there. Is there a website that...
We have a Facebook page. You go to Bannister Federal... No, Coalition Against Contamination, also Bannister Cover-Up. But it's Coalition Against Contamination.
And
that's
and
our way.
And we'll put that in the episode description also.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So we've got still another, 5 minutes maybe?
May I just say that the people need to be protected around that site.
A little bit about this.
And the workers, because things will go wrong. I have done many jobs. Each job had a problem.
Can you talk about folks that have come out and said they've been
And you're thinking that for the 275 million whatever that center that there's not likely to be adequate supervision of the work that Centerpoint does.
At this point, I haven't been privileged to the details of what is there or even the layout of the facility. Even though I have maintained the highest levels of security clearances in DOE, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Department of Defense, including special access authorization and service as a top secret control officer, and my grandmother never spat in the street, honestly. And yet, I cannot have privilege of what went on in that facility.
Well, of course not. Classified information rules are is always on a need-to-know basis anyway.
We can post it on the website, but I did want you to talk about...
establish monitoring, sampling, and analysis systems around the plant. We need to establish met towers to determine the flow of wind, if there is a release, or when there is a release. And I note I'm saying when there is a release, we'll know which direction it went in and what people we need to evacuate. That we need to make arrangements at hospitals for the treatment of contaminated and injured workers, including members of the public. I've had to set up those arrangements with hospitals, and hospitals are afraid that if you bring a contaminated person in here, you're going to shut me down.
That's right.
And
you have to talk to the hospital people and tell them how you plan to admit a contaminated, injured person. And I use the morgue. That's where we'll take them to the morgue and we'll be set up. But you have to prepare for that, all of your monitering equipment and waste
even
disposal.
The morgue is not safe.
All
right?
Of that has to be prepared.
Right. So I just want to let people know that Wayne Knox will be on the panel at the town hall, and we will be exploring the various steps that we need to insist that CenterPoint take to protect the community, in the event that an accident happens, which could be very likely, as far as the emergency procedures that should take place. So, Mr. Knox will be on the panel and will be available for questions from the audience too.
And real quick, to bring it home. In working in that plant, what happens in that plant? We had a person, when you have one, this is a crew of 400. We had a person that was contaminated with a radioactive material called promethium. Now, this promethium had been around for a long time. The spill.
10 years.
10 years. It had been there 10 years. They finally come and told this woman that she had a problem. They did everything to monitor this woman. They went to her home. Think about this. They went to her home. They found radioactive material on her drapes, on her carpet, on her pillow, and on her toilet stool. Now, Kansas City, we live and worked in this place. Now, I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying.
And just one more question, if I may. Ann from Kansas City just called in, and she said, this facility is in a residential or near a residential neighborhood, and wanted to know if you could address some of the issues that could be facing the neighbors who are around the area, instead of just concerns for the workers who are in the facility.
Right.
That's Ann from Kansas
City. Right. Well, one thing, and Wayne can really dust it up real good, but one thing that they should understand, look, we had a person that did the reporting on the Bannister Federal Complex for years. For years. He did a real good job, and everybody knows him. His name is Russ Potosik. Russ Potosik.
A reporter.
Never worked in that plant. Russ Potosik has borreliosis. And the only way we figure he has it, is that he got it from that plant. And that was only doing reporting from that plant. We have had people that work for the post office that have delivered mail in that plant. And they are contaminated.
Okay. So we're out of time, and I want to thank our guests, Wayne Knox, calling in from Atlanta. And you'll be here Saturday, or you'll be calling in Saturday?
He'll be here.
He'll be here Saturday.
At
the town hall at
Southeast Community Center.
Southeast Community Center, 4102 East 43rd Street.
4201.
4201 East 63rd Street.
Right.
And at 10
it's right near Starlight Theater. you don't
okay,
know
Okay, and we'll get that on our website, kkfi.org. Go to the Radioactive Magazine. We'll have that information within the hour. And I want to thank our guest, Maurice Copeland, and thank you very much, co-host Jamie Jackson.